Every year, an estimated 5,000 women are killed by so-called crimes of honor. It is a practice that links a woman's sexuality and often her virginity to the honor of her family and entire community. For more than 15 years, Jordanian journalist and women's rights activist Rana Husseini has dedicated her life to uncovering the stories of violence against women and helped to veer both legal and cultural traditions away from this barbaric practice. Her work has led to her discovery that so-called honor killings happen all over the world, contrary to the belief that they are restricted to the Arab and Muslim world. In countries like Italy, the UK, Brazil, and right here in the United States, violence against women stemming from jealousy, male entitlement, family honor, and other patriarchal structures is far more prevalent than most of us realize. Rana Husseini has captured the stories of many of these women, and her new work and support is in a new book called Murder in the Name of Honor, the true story of one woman's heroic fight against an unbelievable crime. We now turn to a recorded interview Sonali Kohatkar did with Rana Husseini. Rana begins by reading to us from her book.
Chapter 1, Murder in Amman. In summer, the temperature in Jordan soars to the unpleasantly high 30s. Across the sweltering capital, those of Amman's citizens who were fortunate enough not to have to make their living on the teeming street hid away from the sun in the city's many coffee shops. It was 31st May 1994, the day that Kifaya's mother, uncles, and brothers had decided she should die. In the built-up part of the conservative old city, Kifaya sat, tied to a chair in the kitchen of her family home. The sweets that her older brother Khaled had brought earlier to persuade her that everything was all right lay untouched on the counter. Kifaya's crime was to have allowed herself to be raped by her other brother Muhammad. She had then been forced by her family secretly to abort his child and had been made to marry a man 34 years her senior, whom she had divorced after 6 miserable months. She had shamed her family. There was only one solution. Khaled held a glass to Kifaya's lips and told her to drink some water. He asked her to recite verses from the Quran and picked up a knife. Kifaya begged for mercy. Outside, the neighbors listened but did not do anything as she started to scream.
Rana Husseini, a Jordanian journalist, reading from her book, Murder in the Name of Honor, the true story of one woman's heroic fight against an unbelievable crime. Rana, this story of Kifaya that you relate is the first incident that you came across of the so-called honor crimes in Jordan, began your journey that led you to writing this book many years later. Describe what motivated you to take up this cause as a journalist, but in a way also as an advocate?
Well, this story was really horrific because it was a small news item in the newspaper of a woman who was killed, or a child who was killed by her brother. There was no other detail. So when I went to disclose the murder or investigate it, let's start all over, okay? I don't know what's wrong with me. It's the first time. I'm usually very...
That's okay. You look a little tired.
I'm usually very smooth on this. Okay. What motivated me was really this story of Kifaya, a girl who I've never met in my life. I just read a small item in the paper of a child who was killed by her brother, and I went to investigate the matter. And I discovered a horrific story. This girl, as I read, she was raped by her brother. He tried to kill her. She underwent a secret abortion. Then they married her to a man 34 years older than her. And then 6 months later, they killed her, the family, blaming her for the rape. And when I went to talk to the uncles, they basically accused her of seducing her brothers and blamed her entirely for the rape. To me, this was really a shock. It was a sad story of a 16-year-old girl who went through these horrible things through her short life. And I reported the story for the Jordan Times, and the following day, an intellectual Jordanian woman called the newspaper screaming and yelling at my editors that they should stop me from reporting these crimes because this is not us and this doesn't happen in our society. So I became even more enraged that the call came from a woman, and I decided to show her and show everyone else that, no, this is us, this is our society, we have problems and we have to face it. At that time, really, no one was reporting about these murders. And I just came across one story after another after another, and it was really shocking. And I decided that I wanted to register and document each and every case I hear about and to be the voice of these women. Then I went to the courts, and I discovered that men who killed their sisters were getting away with very lenient sentences, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, for taking their female relatives' lives, whereby you can write a bad check and get a higher sentence for that. So this was, to me, another shock at that time, you know, but, of course, things changed now. So I said also I'm going to focus on the courts, and the newspapers also never focused on the court verdicts. And later on, I went to the prison to do a story about women in prison, and I was shocked to learn that there are many women who are imprisoned indefinitely for their own safety because their family wants to kill them for reasons related to family honor. And I've met some women who've been there for over 10 years, wasting their youth, just sitting there. They cannot release themselves, and the only way for them to be released is if their a family member comes to bail them out, and usually it's to kill them. So basically, these were the three things that motivated me to do what I was doing. And of course, until the first 3 or 4 years of my career, I was just thinking that I was just a journalist documenting these cases. I wanted people to hear. I wanted people, our readers, to react. I wanted the government to do something. I thought I was just documenting these cases and reporting them for the public. But in 1998, I was nominated for the Reebok Human Rights Award. And this award is given to 4 individuals in the world who are 30 years or younger who work on human rights issues. And when I came here to the U.S. to receive it, I discovered that I was actually not only a journalist, but I was also a human rights activist. And this is how the journey started.
So, Rana, one of the things that you show in your book is that part of the lack of media coverage had been also due to the fact that that the media coverage itself can serve to malign the victim, the girl, and the way in which she might have, you know, quote, stained the honor of her family. First of all, how prevalent is that in the media, and has that aspect of sort of media coverage changed as your work has opened more people's eyes?
Of course, yeah. When I first started, this issue was considered taboo. The media did not want to talk about it, specifically the Arabic media. Of course, the Jordan Times was very supportive, the editors. Everyone believed in this issue and other human rights issues. And as I said, in the beginning, it was really difficult for the media to tackle it. First of all, some reporters in the Arabic press believed women deserve to die. Others said they don't want to meddle in this. This is like a family issue. They don't want to get in trouble or they don't want to report about it. But after all the work that we have done in Jordan, that's also documented in my book, and the activities and the awareness we have raised and the media coverage of our activities in the late 90s, really this broke the taboo forever, I think. And now it's very normal to talk about the issue. Some of the Arabic papers are now reporting the crime itself and the verdict. And these are important, you know, elements, because this was a problem in the past when we used to talk, oh, you're exaggerating, these murders do not happen. But now they are reporting each and every case. Some Arabic newspapers, they're documenting the cases just as we used to do in the Jordan Times. And this is an eye-opener for people, and they're putting details of the murders. So this is something very important. In addition, you know, for the longest, I think, for over 6 or 7 years now, the Jordanian media has been focusing a lot on violence against women and children, talking to experts, writing features, journalists, talking to religious leaders, talking to victims. And this we did not see when I first started. This issue of violence against women and children was rarely, and sexual molestation and so forth, and rape. It was very rare to see in the media. And now we see it a lot. And you see people react. Now, you know, because of the internet, people post their opinion. We have even electronic newspapers that are different than the local dailies. And they also write and people react. It's not like the best reaction sometimes. And sometimes there are people who say, no, this does not shouldn't happen. And I feel that there's now more voices growing against these crimes in Jordan. And I think it's all because of all the awareness that we have done, the involvement of the civil society, even the royal family, the government. Everyone got involved at one point, and really this helped a lot.
So, Rana, you talk about violence against women and children as a very broad thing. And here in the West, the media does tend to focus very much on the so-called honor crimes, the very dramatic and tragic killings of women that families decide have to be done to salvage their honor when the woman is raped or committed adultery or whatever. But how important is it to broaden the discussion to violence against women and children?
Yeah, you're right. I think, I mean, this is one thing wherever I go, I'm calling for. I think we have to address violence against women and children from a global perspective. We should not pinpoint a certain country, a certain religion, a certain nation, because violence against women is an international phenomenon. One in three women in the world would be subjected to some form of violence at one point in her time, according to UN figures. In the past, it was one in four. Now it's one in three. If you want to talk about homicide figures, in the U.S., the Ministry of Justice, I met with women from who are in charge of the domestic violence unit, and they had figures of 2 years ago of about 1,300 women being killed in the U.S. by their partners. That's three women every day.
And we don't call those honor crimes, but, I mean, in a way, they're part of the same problem.
Exactly. And that's why, I mean, killing of women is killing of women regardless if it's honor, if it's jealousy, if it's possessiveness, if it's revenge. At the end of the day, women are being killed everywhere in the world.
And in your book, you cite a figure, I believe it was 5,000 specifically categorized as these honor crimes around the world, and not just in the Middle East or Muslim countries, but all over the world.
True. This is like UN estimates that were done in 2000. Unfortunately, I think the number is much higher than 5,000. Mm-hmm. And I think the number now is much higher than that. But again, 5,000, 10,000, one woman, it's too much. We have to always, I always say, we have to constantly address the issue of violence against women, raise awareness. Centers that help women, they should always be, announcing their presence, offering their hotlines, because there are a lot of women who are in danger or who are abused, who think they are alone. And this is one of the reasons that I put a lot of cases in my book. I want it to be like a warning sign for women who might think they are living in a safe environment, to know that they are not to be careful, to seek guidance, never to be afraid. If you are afraid and you think that you cannot do anything, you will lose your life. You have to stand up and fight for your life, seek help. Help is there in all countries now. All countries realize, even the conservative countries, they realize that this is a problem, and they have centers, they have people who help, they have hotlines. So this is really, I want it to be like an empowering tool for women to be able to realize that they can seek help. They are not alone.
I'm speaking with journalist and activist Rana Hosseini, whose book is called Murder in the Name of Honor, The True Story of One Woman's Heroic Fight Against an Unbelievable Crime. She joins me in studio to talk about violence against women. So you mentioned around the world, I mean, this is a phenomenon that is global, but even honor crimes, you said that in the UK and in the US and immigrant communities, you even cited in your book Brazil and Ecuador.
And Italy.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, based on my research and research done by organizations such as Equality Now, Human Rights Watch, Amnesty, they documented murders happening in other countries, not only the Islamic world. Unfortunately, a lot of people try to attribute these murders to a certain religion, to a certain nation. For example, in Jordan, I wrote about five or six Christian women who were killed in a so-called honor crime throughout my 16-year career. There's a report of many Christian women who were killed in our part of the world and elsewhere. In Italy, there were two men recently who killed their sisters in Sicily, Italian men, because they tarnished their family's honor. The same in South America. There are a lot of countries that still use the notion of honor when issuing verdicts
right.
for men who kill women for such reasons or infidelity or so forth. Again, in countries like in Iraq, there was an incident of a Yazidi woman who was killed. She was stoned to death. Yazidi faith is nothing. It has nothing to do with Islam or Christianity. Again, in Afghanistan, Pakistan,
there are reports
of these murders happening within all the religious faiths, there, Hindu, Sikhs. So really, it's not. That's why I always say we have to address it from a global perspective, because I think at the end of the day, it's all about power. It's all about wanting to control women, possessing women, be it honor, be it a woman wanting to leave her husband or abusive partner or so forth. There was an unfortunate incident of this Indian woman, Sikh woman, who was living in the UK, and she was married to a Sikh man, of course, and she wanted to leave him because he was abusive. And eventually they killed her. They took her, they lured her back to India and killed her because she wanted to leave her husband. And you hear many, many, many cases. Once I was in the UK and this man killed his wife and stuffed her in a bag. He's a British man. Just because she wanted to leave them. Mm. Imagine, you know, imagine the gruesome. And there are thousands, unfortunately, thousands and thousands of stories of women who get killed or violently abused by their partners, spouses, husbands, or family members.
Rana,
just either because they are women or because they want to make a choice in their life or because, you know, they want to leave.
Now, you brought up early on in our interview and also in your book, very much part of the problem has been the court system and the problem of accountability. It still is the fact in many countries that when men can show that they committed the crime in a fit of passion, they get a much more lenient sentence. Give us the case example of Jordan and how things have changed in the court system today and whether that's made a big impact.
Yeah, I think in most countries, let's say of our part of the world, the problem is always with the application of the law. Mm-hmm. Laws exist to protect women somehow, but most of the judges are men, and most of the judges come from conservative backgrounds and feel that it's the woman's fault. You know, you still have this idea. It's almost here in this part of the world when a woman gets raped, they put the blame on her. But what happened in Jordan is the government in the late 90s suggested amending an article in the penal code which talks about adultery. And if a man finds his wife or female relative committing adultery with another man and kills or injures one or both, he's exempted from punishment. And a second clause, if they are found in an adultery situation and he kills one or both, he benefits from a reduction. So the government scrapped the first article and kept the exemption and gave the same right to women if they find their husbands in the marriage bed committing adultery with another woman. Of course, this was not our intention to... We don't want to justify a murder by any, you know, in the legal system, not to give anyone the excuse to get away with the murder. But this is what happened back then. This, along with our activity, we formed a group. We were called the Jordanian National Committee to Eliminate So-Called Honor Crimes. We adopted the government's amendments, although I was not 100% that this is the right thing, because there's another article, as you said, that talks about the fit of fury, whereby if a person kills another person because of an unlawful or dangerous act on the part of the victim in a moment of rage, he benefits from a reduction. And this is where most of the killers were getting away with this in Jordan. The court considers a woman's behavior, sexual conduct, challenging her family as an or going missing or becoming pregnant out of wedlock as a dangerous and unlawful act gives the defendant a reduction in penalty. So if the charge is premeditated, it becomes a misdemeanor. Imagine, from death penalty or life in prison to 1 year or 6 months. So basically, this is what I've been focusing on for the longest time. Now, recently, the government, they're trying to change this article and increase the punishment. But unfortunately, we are faced with a conservative lower house of parliament that really believed from the beginning that all what we did was backed up by the West. It's unfortunate they couldn't see that there was a civil movement going on. And this is always like all human rights all over the world activists, they get accused of being Western agents.
Of course.
Yeah. But the good thing is that now the government is more aware. I mean, this year in specific in Jordan, you've had the Minister of Justice, you've had the government spokesperson, even the Queen, the King, they all spoke against violence against women. They did specify so-called honor killings. In July of this year, the criminal court specifically designated a special tribunal to try people who kill in a so-called honor crime, you know, and they kill in the name of family honor. And just when I was here in the U.S. on October 13, they issued the longest sentence ever based on my work experience. They handed a man a 15-year prison sentence for killing his sister for reasons related to family honor. Mm. They did not consider the fit of fury argument. And the most important thing is they rejected the family's request to drop charges. Usually what happens, if a man is sentenced to 15, family drops charges, it becomes 7.5. If it's 2 years, it becomes 1 year. If it's 1 year, it becomes 6 months. Wow. If it's 6 months, it becomes 3 months. So the court, and then after a week after that, they issued another sentence, similar one with 15 years. So I think this is a very important improvement. It shows really that the government, even the leadership of the country, is really serious about wanting to curb these, to fight these problems and, you know, hopefully reducing. It's unfortunate you cannot end these crimes, but at least reducing it. You know, changing the law is one thing, but you have to work on many things. You have to changing the attitude, improving the education system, encouraging religious leaders and community leaders to speak out against this problem. The press has to continuously address it. So it's a combination of things. It's not only one thing that will help.
You've been listening to a recorded interview Sonali Kohatkar did with author Rana Husseini, Jordanian journalist, activist, and author of Murder in the Name of Honor, the true story of one woman's heroic fight against an unbelievable crime.